Here's the Chiefs pick.
With the fifth pick in the 2010 NFL Draft, the Kansas City Chiefs select...
You're going to be able to come in and make a big difference for us.
Eric Berry, safety, Tennessee.
Right after you get drafted, talk to the media.
Man, I'm very excited. And I had a great feel when I went up there.
You talk to the coaches, you talk to the GM, they ask you what number you want. They told me the choices. They had a 20, 49, I believe 23, and they had 29. Immediately I said 29, like that's the number.
I grew up in a southeast corner of Atlanta. It's a neighborhood by the name of Kirkwood.
Kirkwood was a rough neighborhood, and he witnessed everything you see about ghetto life.
I had dreams and aspirations and big hopes to do some great things, and my dream in particular was to be an NFL player.
His instinct and his competitiveness was second to no one. And mind you, he was only 155 pounds. He played way bigger than what his stature is. He didn't come off the field. Punt returner, kick returner, quarterback, running back, cornerback, safety.
Well, I had this drive and I had this belief, but there still was this unbelief of, man, is anybody going to come in and check me out or evaluate my tape?
What you're looking for in a cornerback in the Southeastern Conference that can play man-to-man and be a, quote, shutdown, lockdown kind of corner, he had all those tools. Other than being 157 pounds.
There were two factors as to why Inky Johnson was not recruited by Georgia or Georgia Tech. One, his size, and that was obvious. But the other thing was that Inky had not qualified academically.
He just needed to know what he needed to do, where he needed to go.
People doubted me because of where I was coming from, my circumstances.
You're talking about a person that was determined. You know, he got all A's. But with the higher GPA, it made him qualified.
It was a blessing, man, to get that scholarship because I wanted to show the guys coming from my community and my school, believe in yourself and it can happen.
They signed about 23 or 24 in that class, but they only had one other defensive back. They were looking for defensive backs. They didn't get on Inky until January.
It was an outstanding class of youngsters coming in, some with good pedigrees and some that were that two- or three-star guy that nobody really had recognized. Inky, unfortunately, was part of those guys.
This is a two-star player. This is a guy that Georgia and Georgia Tech didn't want. Make no mistake, he came to Tennessee with a chip on his shoulder. He wanted to prove to people that he could play.
When he started finally getting on the field to practice, you saw his passion, you saw his emotion.
He would be one of the first to jump in line and say, hey, I'll take this guy.
I don't think anybody had really recognized the level of ability he had.
You know, Inky didn't get a red shirt. He was on special team as a freshman. He's running through people, trying to make tackles, running through blocks as if he's 180 pounds. And then he keeps showing up and making plays, disrupting everything. You know, you got to find a place to put that kid on the field.
For me, it wasn't hard to go out every day and give everything that I had. And so I knew my time was coming. All I had to do was be responsible and seize the moment when it did come.
Inky's persistence continued throughout his early years at Tennessee. And by the fall of his junior year, this two-star recruit was atop the depth chart and matched up with one of the premier receivers in college football.
In the first game against Cal, Tennessee jumped out to a big lead.
Our team, we came out, man, we executed well. We hit on all cylinders from special teams to offense to defense. And, you know, going against DeSean Jackson, at the time he was a great player. You know, I had an interception, a couple big hits, a couple pass breakups, and the game went great.
So the next game against Air Force, there was a buzz about Tennessee. Hey, this team looks so good. Tennessee's back. They're going to be a top 25 team. And they come in and face this triple option wishbone of Air Force.
And a good crowd on hand at Neyland Stadium this evening. Throws it into the end zone. Touchdown! Big arm! Backing him down at the 31. Inky Johnson. Big play coming up. Third down and eight.
And in a particular play on the sideline, Inky went over to make a tackle.
When it happened, it just looked like a regular football play.
you know, and I went at it the way that I always did.
Carney, back.
It's either me or you, and I'm not blinking.
Got the pass caught and out of bounds at the 33-yard line.
And so at the point of contact when I hit this guy, you know, something different happened that had never happened to me before in my life.
And Inky Johnson is down on the field in the... This is not good.
The trainers and the doctors were working to save his life on the field.
And what happened in that moment, I had busted up the subclavian artery in my chest and I was bleeding internally. I had to rush me back and take the main vein out of my left leg, plug it into my chest in order to save my life. And that's when they discovered I had nerve damage in my right shoulder.
The damage to the nerves in Inky's right shoulder resulted in paralysis. Inky's playing days appeared to be over.
Really, there was a period of time not knowing, you know, what was going to happen, live or die, or lose his limb, or what was going to happen. My wife Vicki and I sitting there when he woke up, and we go in and see him, and the first thing out of his mouth, you know, Inky, how you doing, man? He said, Coach, I'm blessed. You know, I mean, we both sat there and just bawled it with each other. What a show of courage by a young man that had it all going for him, and then all of a sudden he's looking at starting over again.
Amidst the tragic end to Inky's career as a Vol, another talented Atlanta star was beginning his journey to Knoxville.
The things that I remember about Everett starting as a freshman at Creekside High School, and always having his name in the paper week after week.
I can remember a game in senior year where we were playing against Cam Newton. And so in the paper it was, you know, so-called Eric Berry against Cam Newton. And you know, that game was so big it had to be moved to a Saturday.
The hype around Eric Berry was unbelievable. There was so much talk about this guy.
Every time he got the ball, man, he was looking to go in the end zone. It didn't matter how he got there, he would fight, scratch, claw. He would do anything to make it to that end zone.
I mean, he was very talented, very, very skilled. You know, if there was a six-star or seven, he would have been one of those guys.
He had so much attention from a number of major colleges around the country.
I didn't fret that very much. I mean, he told me at 9 years old that he was coming to Tennessee. You know?
Well, he's James Berry's son, and James was a good running back here.
Once he made up his mind, I know that he would be loyal to whatever school that he said he was going to go to. I was just glad he took Tennessee.
As Eric stepped foot on the campus of his father's alma mater, Inky Johnson was still making an impact on the Vols.
After I found out that I couldn't play anymore, I would be in the brace working out with the guys.
When he got hurt, it wasn't woe is me, you know, no sob story. He said, okay, I've been dealt these cards, and what am I going to do about it?
After he'd gone through a lot of rehab and all, he did the off-season program with us, for God's sake. You know, nobody wants to do the off-season program, and he's out there with one arm, you know, doing seat rolls and sprints and leading the team.
The first interaction I had with Ink, I remember it was like one of our workouts, and you know, everybody wasn't giving everything they had. Ink just, it just was something that wasn't sitting right with him. So here I see this little guy call the whole team up.
When I played, when I used to put on that orange power tee, it meant something to me. It's a rich tradition. There's a lot of great players that came through here before.
You know what I'm saying? He has the whole team's attention.
When you come out on this field, don't disrespect this game, man. Because you got people like me that love this game.
Just raging, just upset. Because nobody was giving everything they had.
I was sitting in a spot where it was a lot of uncertainty, you know, about my future, you know, about football, and about my life.
I said, man, listen, I said, do you love this thing or do you like it? Because when you love it, you approach it totally different. Your mindset is totally different. Your sacrifice is totally different. Your dedication is totally different. Your commitment to the game is totally different.
You know, I always looked at the guys that I played with like my brothers. I wanted those guys to realize how blessed they were to be able to play the game and to seize that and not take that for granted, because you never know when it's going to be your last play.
There's no way that he should have more passion than anybody that has this opportunity, and that's the way he felt. And you couldn't do anything but respect it. And everybody responded.
Look, there are a lot of five-star players that are told you're the best, and they don't work hard at it. Eric Berry was as hard a worker as anybody on that football team. And I think probably because of Inky Johnson.
Inky was one of those guys that, you know, got me focused in.
I asked him, do you want to come out and play the game and be a pretty good player? Or do you want to come out and leave a legacy?
And what you going to do to get to that point?
From film study, from practice, take the information, put in the extra work to learn it. I saw something in him that I didn't see in the other cats. And I saw that fire, man. And I saw that passion.
I just put in as much work as I could, man, and just tried to give everything I had every day.
I remember one situation in particular. I think it was a Florida game.
And this is in Gainesville, against a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback.
You know, we were going back and forth with Florida, and I was looking at Eric, and I could tell he was frustrated. I basically told him, hey, man, say something. You have just as much as a right to say something as anybody else on this team. Because I had watched him in summer workouts. I had watched him every day put in the work, and he outworked everybody. Charge him, challenged him.
Focus all your energy on right now. This game, this week, this opponent.
And as soon as he said something, everybody straightened up and everybody listened.
Actually, we were at home. We were watching the game. And it was like, Tebow drops back the pass, he throws the ball.
See ya! This could go all the way. Tebow's the only man who can stop it. Eric Berry, the true freshman, all the way for a touchdown.
The whole house just exploded. He intercepted Tim Tebow.
Take the cape off, Tim Tebow, huh? Eric Berry.
You know, when I made that play, I just kept moving forward. And it kind of snowballed into this big, epic career I had in college.
I mean, he was really something different.
He could play corner. He could play safety. He could play strong safety or free safety.
And he's hit down right as soon as he catches it. Nice play by who else? The All-American, Eric Berry.
You know, I've seen him, you know, run through receivers and run through big, strong Southeastern Conference backs. He was a ball of violence. He was going to make something happen.
He's just coming down hard from the safety position to support that run. You can hear Berry spits all the way up here.
All the evidence was there that this guy was a star in the making. He could do everything on a college football field, and he was so much better than most of the players that he was playing with or against. It was no surprise at all that he turned pro after his junior season.
I felt like that was a not only a highlight moment for me, but the people around me too. You know, nobody makes it to that point by themselves.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
You excited to be a Kansas City Chief?
I told you want to be a Chief, baby.
That night, I got my name called. Having my family there, it was amazing.
I was so happy for him. You know, top DB.
I see you in Kansas City.
The one thing Ink always talked to me about too is, how am I helping out in the community? What am I preparing myself to do outside of football to, you know, make my stamp on the world? He always told me that's a part of a legacy.
He insisted that we do the book bags. He insisted that they have supplies in them. And he wants to make sure everybody gets what they need.
Reese, how you doing, Reese?
He has that burning desire for these young men and the young women who are there. He wants them to be great, and he wants them to excel and do well also.
He is one of the guys that gets it. Giving back, pouring into the lives of young people.
You know, those kind of examples are what a mature guy like Inky can bring to a young guy, and I think did. and thus has impacted Eric here all these years later.
So work hard, have fun, and we're going to finish everything at the end of the day. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Y'all ready?
Y'all boys ready? Yeah. Y'all boys ready? Yeah. Dominate all day, family on two.
When it comes to playing this game of football, he respects the game. And you can see it through his passion. You can see it through his intensity. You know, I love watching him play the game. It does something for me and my spirit.
Out of the shotgun, McGloin. He fires it. Intercepted. Picked off Eric Berry up the right side. 25.
He is just made to be a great football player.
He's a tremendous athlete. You know, he's got the ability to make the sledgehammer hit. He's tough. I think toughness is something that's valued around the NFL and certainly by his teammates.
He has the knack for the big play. I still think he wants to get better as a football player.
Return for Eric Berry.
As Eric Berry adds to his own legend, he continues to honor the legacy of Inky Johnson.
I chased this dream and I chased it with everything that I had. And I didn't get the opportunity to see that take shape. But now when he wears the number 29 on Sundays, you know, my coaches and the people that believed in me and my parents, they could look at the tube and say, hey, man, that's in honor of Ink. So that means the world to me, man.
I know what he would do if he was able to put that jersey on and go out there and play ball. And every time I put it on, I represent him. I hit the 2, I hit the 9, and I salute him.
The Chiefs' Kingdom is a symphony of moments, images, connections, and each snapshot tells a story of her adventure. The impact Inky Johnson bestowed on Eric has traveled to the Berry family, where Eric's brothers, Evan and Elliot, continue to honor Inky and their brother on the football field in Knoxville.
I think for Elliot, the 41, it's Eric backwards. And of course, he's going to honor his brother. For Evan, they wanted to make sure someone wore that 29.
Most of the things he's given me knowledge about, I pass it down to my brothers.
Their relationship is not only built with Eric. They were forming a relationship with Inky because he really inspired them.
Toss power trap.